Saha,
the Supreme Lord.
Va,
alternately.
Idam,
this.
Vishwam,
manifested universes.
Amogalilaha,
one whose activities are spotless.
Srijati,
creates.
Avati Atti,
maintains and annihilates.
Na,
not.
Sajjate,
is affected by.
Asmin,
in them.
Bhuteshu,
in all living beings.
Cha,
also.
Antarhitaha,
living within.
Atmatantraha,
self-independent.
Shatvargikam,
endowed with all the potencies of his opulences.
Jigrati,
superficially attached, like smelling the fragrance.
Shad guna ishaha,
master of the six senses. Translation purport by Hrishabhangdi, says Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki. The Lord, whose activities are always spotless, is the master of the six senses and is fully omnipotent with six opulences. He creates the manifested universes, maintains them and annihilates them without being in the least affected. He is within every living being and is always independent. Purport. The prime difference between the Lord and the living entities is that the Lord is the creator and the living entities are the created. Here, he is called the Amoghalilaha, which indicates that there is nothing lamentable in his creation. Those who create disturbance in his creation are themselves disturbed. He is transcendental to all material afflictions because he is full with all six opulences, namely wealth, power, fame, beauty, knowledge and renunciation. And thus he is the master of the senses. He creates these manifested universes in order to reclaim the living beings who are within them suffering threefold miseries. And the Lord maintains them and in due course annihilates them without being the least affected by such actions. He is connected with this material creation very superficially, as one smells the odor without being connected with the odorous article, a flower. Non-godly elements therefore can never approach him despite all endeavors.
Om Ajnanata Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuh Unmelitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupakatamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsya Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Saharana Raghunathanvitam Tamsajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sakitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamsya Namam Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Itinamine Namaste Saraswati Devai Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Krupa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
The Lord, whose activities are always spotless, is the master of the six senses and is fully omnipotent with six opulences. He creates the manifested universes, maintains them and annihilates them without being in the least affected. He is within every living being and is always independent. So we are reading from the chapter entitled Krishna, the source of all incarnations. The verses like the one we are reading now, they give us a understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His nature. It is very important for the devotee to appreciate Krishna's transcendental nature, unlike the conditioned nature of the living entity within the material world. Srila Prabhupada writes in one of his purports in Bhagavad Gita, where he says, some people claim that the supreme truth, absolute truth, whatever it be, that cannot incarnate into this material world. If God is, whether God be a person or imperson, whatever, God cannot come to this world, He cannot incarnate in this world. If you ask them why can't God incarnate? They say, no, absolute truth is so great that absolute truth cannot incarnate into this world. So it is their own concoction that Lord cannot incarnate in this world. So by understanding the facts that are given here, one can appreciate that even if the Lord incarnates in this world, still how the Lord remains aloof from this material world, unlike the living entities who become contaminated by the material nature. So the difference is very vital and very important for one to understand. Here the example is given, very beautiful example is given. Like, you know this flower jasmine? If you have this jasmine flower, even if you keep it in the next room, you can get the smell here. So you are smelling the flower, at the same time you are not in contact with it. That is in another room and you are in this room. There is no contact, but you can still smell it. Similarly, there is a simultaneous connectedness and non-connectedness that Lord has with the material creation. And that has to be understood and appreciated. This Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, 4th and 5th verses of 9th chapter. Maya tatamidam sarvam jagadavyaktamurtina matstani sarva bhutani nachaham teshvavastitah nacha matstani bhutani pashyame yogameshwaram bhutavrinnacha bhutasto mamatma bhutabhavanah yathakashastito nityam vayu sarvatra gomaha. Gives an example here for this, what I am speaking here. Yathakashastito nityam vayu sarvatra gomaha. But before that example, we can discuss these two verses, what Krishna says. He says, Maya tatamidam sarvam jagad avyakta murtina. I am all pervading, he says. I am pervading this whole creation. So when Krishna says, when God says, I am pervading the whole creation, what do people conclude? They think He must be impersonal. Just like you take a paper, cut it into several pieces and throw it everywhere. So they think that God is everywhere, He is impersonal, He has no form, no attributes, and that absolute truth, Brahman only has become everything in this creation. So they think like that, people. But actually, Lord says, Maya tatamidam sarvam jagad avyakta murtina matstani sarva bhutani nachaham teshu avastitaha. He says. See, it's very amazing that the Lord says that I am all pervading, at the same time I am not in them. He says, Nachamatstani bhutani. I am not in them. What is the meaning of I am not in them? The whole material creation is created by the will of Krishna. Isn't it? It is by the Lord's will, Ichashakti, that He has created this whole material universe. But still He is not attached to it. When we create something with our will, we become attached to it. All of us, we can think some of our creations. What all things we create. So for example, I have prepared, some book, Essence of Bhagavad Gita. I prepared now. I haven't done any good work. I have just compiled from here and there from Prabhupada books. But if somebody comes and asks me, Prabhuji, which is the easiest book that I should read? I would say Essence of Bhagavad Gita. You would recommend. It's very natural for us. Because we think the work that we have done is best, correct? You all agree with me? When we do something, we think it's wonderful. Like somebody does a project. Like somebody did, one of the boys had done a project on some complex, machine to, produce something. And then it was published in the newspaper, article came and and that batch of students got a prize. So this boy, his newspaper article was put up in the base. Or Vikas Kale Prabhu's article. So he got some award for that. So naturally, if you ask him, what is the best project that has happened in whole of India, he would say, our project is the best project. Whether it is in whole of India or not, naturally we would naturally consider like that. Any of us produce anything, we consider that to be of very high value and we become attached to it. That is our nature. Generally, when we have with our desire, we create something and we become attached to it. Somebody will say, oh, the deities look the most beautiful today. Why? Because I dress them. Because I have dressed, I have created it. So it is very attractive. Same thing with everything. Like somebody cooks, say some special item is made in the kitchen. One day Giridhar Gopal Prabhu had made some special item in the kitchen. What do you call it? One type of sweet, which is round sweet. Malpua, yeah. So everyone was served that Malpua one day. So he came and asked me, so Prabhuji, are you happy? I was happy about what? You only find out, he told me. But I didn't understand what was it. Then later on I said, you did something? Then he said, yes, we made this Malpua or something. So did you like it? No. Then I understood that he has made it. I tasted and said, it's wonderful. Who made it? I made it. When we make something, when we do something, we become attached to it. That's our nature. So to create something and not be attached to it is very difficult. So that only Krishna can do. Krishna creates this material universe, but he is unattached to it. He is not dependent on it. He doesn't get hooked to it. At the same time, he says, but the material nature rests on him for its sustenance. Otherwise, the material nature cannot function. You see, Krishna doesn't even create this material world directly. He creates it indirectly. How? Through the agency of Durga, through the agency of Brahma. He creates the material world. He doesn't directly get involved with the material nature because he calls it as a separated energy. It's a separate department. He doesn't handle it personally. Sometimes, like Prime Minister of India, he handles certain departments personally. But the other departments he handles separately. For example, for training all the MPs and MLAs and ministers of India, there's a special college in one of the... Anybody knows where is that college in India? You had been to that college. So, just like we have Oxford in the West, now we have the Oxford and Cambridge. Similarly, in India also they have a special college for training the ministers and MPs and MLAs. So to give them special training about the constitution of India, the policies and everything, and to come together and come up with frame new policies for the future of India. So now Prime Minister of India, he has a place there, he has a separate house there, he goes there, he personally spends time with all the people of leaders of India, because there the people are educated to guide the whole country. It's an important place for him. Whereas he also has a jail which he creates, like Erawada jail. How often Prime Minister of India comes to Erawada jail? Does he come ever? He may come, but his coming to Erawada jail is not such an important thing for him. He may just visit, pay a visit sometimes to see what the thieves are doing, whether are they reforming or not. But he gives more importance for the scholars whom he trains them as leaders. And he gives little attention to the people in the jail while going to the jail. So, in this manner, we can see for Krishna, spiritual world is more important. In spiritual world, Krishna, with all the living entities, is performing pastimes happily. But because some living entities are rebellious, for their sake he has created the material world, which he says, Bhinna me prakriti rashada. It is a separated energy. Separate energy means it's not very important for him. Just like for the PM of India, the jail is not a such important place for him. He is more concerned about the citizens who are living in the country. But occasionally a president or prime minister of the country may also pay a visit to the jail, having a little concern about what these living entities are doing, or to give them an opportunity to know about him, who is he, and how to inspire them to return back to the country. Sometimes the prime minister may go to a jail and address the thieves. Similarly, Krishna also comes here to the material world and performs pastimes and everything. But he is not directly connected, he is indirectly connected. So he says, Maya Tatamidam Sarvam, Jagadavyakta Murtina. I am present everywhere in this material world, he says. But although he is present everywhere, he also exists in the spiritual world, aloof from the material world. That is very important to know. Just like post box means post office. For example, if somebody puts a post box outside our campus here, so anybody can put letter in their post box. Similarly, there will be hundreds and thousands of post boxes all over Pune. But ultimately, all those post boxes have a post office to which they are connected. All these letters will be taken there. Similarly, Krishna says, Goloka Nevasati Akilatma Bhuto. He says, I am living in the Goloka Vrindavan, but then I also come in different, I expand into this material world. In every atom, within the heart of every living being. So Prabhupada's examples are very powerful. Prabhupada gives this example in one lecture about this post office and post box. He says how, although post office is one, post boxes are many. Similarly, Krishna expands as super soul, the heart of every living being. And he still has the form, Jagadavyakta Murtina, he says. He is manifested everywhere, but in his unmanifested form. The word form is used. Which means, he is everywhere but we can't see him. So if you want, you can call him impersonal. But although he is present in his form everywhere, he is not manifest to our blunt eyes. That is why he is called as a Jagadavyakta Murtina. He is not unmanifest, but he is everywhere. We are not watching him, but he is watching us. He is watching us as a witness of all our actions. So, Lord is present everywhere. The next verse says, Nachamatstani Bhutani Pashyame Yogamaishwaram Bhuta Bhrinnacha Bhutasto Mamatma Bhuta Bhavanah. And yet everything that is created does not rest in me. Behold my mystic opulence. Although I am maintainer of all living entities and although I am everywhere, I am not part of this cosmic manifestation. For myself is the very source of creation. So what does this mean? He says that in the next verse that all the things of the material world, they don't rest on me, he says. So earlier he said they rest on him. Now he is saying they don't rest on him, material world. See, all beings are in me, earlier he said, but I am not in them. So these are two level steps to understand. First we have to know that Krishna creates all the material universes and by his desire, and all the material universes depend on him for their very survival. The birds cannot fly, the ocean cannot create waves, the grains cannot grow, the flowers will not blossom, the seasons will not change, the sun will not rise and set, the moon will not rise, and the wind will not blow, and showers won't come. All these things won't happen if Krishna does not will. He has to will. He has to express the desire. If Krishna doesn't will, everything will become standstill. Everything will stop. As we read in Srimad Bhagavatam, the whole universe was created with all its necessary elements, but it was stagnant. It wasn't moving. Until the Lord glanced at the material nature. After which everything was put to motion. Everything was set in motion. So, naturally, the Lord's permission and the Lord's order is necessary for the material nature to function. So in that sense, we can say that the whole material world is dependent on Krishna for its sustenance. For example, now we are going for a new temple land. So now everything is ready. The papers are ready. The title is clear. The amount is fixed. So much amount is to be paid. And the, you know, the last stage has come when you just pay the money and take the signatures and you finalize. But then we have to get permission from whom? GBC. So GBC has to say yes. So we have a, of course we have a committee, but main person is the GBC, Governing Body Commissioner. If they say yes, go ahead. Just these two words on phone, go ahead, finished. Immediately the land is purchased. So the sanction is required. When that sanction is not there, we cannot, no matter how much we are ready with things, things cannot move, isn't it? In the same manner, Krishna's glance is Krishna's sanction for the material nature to function. Otherwise the material nature cannot function. It is simply stagnant. In that sense, the material nature is dependent on Krishna. Like you all have experience of this, sometimes you have to get a sanction for something and you need the signature of someone. Is it? Huh? Yeah? Yeah. Like loan sanction or any sanction. Even ordinary items, when Brahmachari wants something, accounts, you have to get sanctioned. Yeah. So that's a good example. Without that sanction, you cannot do things. You are stuck up somewhere. So only material nature is stuck up without Krishna's sanction. In that sense, the material nature is dependent on Krishna. At the same time, it is not Krishna who does the things. See, it is said, he does not himself create or destroy, but the material nature acts by his desire. So Krishna only expresses his desire and then material nature does all the work. In that sense, Krishna remains aloof from the material nature. The example is given, just like kings like, say, Ambarish Maharaj and others, they don't do much work themselves. Because Ambarish Maharaj was a great devotee. So what he would do? He would have many ministers who would do all the work for him. But he would just supervise. So Krishna also says that later, in the 9th chapter, 10th verse, Maya Adhyakshena Prakriti. Adhyakshena means seeing from the top. You look at things which are happening below. Adhyakshena. Adi Akshena. Aksha means to see. Adi means below. Adhyakshena means to supervise. Just like in a court, sometimes the ministers are sitting, many scholars are sitting, some citizens are sitting, everyone is waiting for the king to come. And as soon as the king comes, walks into the palace, everyone stands up to salute him, and then he goes and occupies his seat. And then he's sitting in the seat, and he is not doing much. He is just watching. And then the ministers immediately bring forth many cases of problems and issues and proposals and suggestions and everything. And king is just nodding the head and watching. He's just supervising. In fact, even the sanction is given by the ministers. And the king has to just approve. That's all. He has to just nod the head. Okay, go ahead. And if he has any disapproval, he has to say, no, don't do it. Otherwise, the king is just watching. In that way, Ambarish is to run his kingdom. In the same manner, Krishna also makes the material nature do everything simply by desiring. He doesn't have to do anything. Natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate. Natasya karyam. He has no work to do, no karyam. No work at all to do. His only work is playing on the flute and enjoy merrymaking. That is Krishna's activity. He doesn't work hard. He is not a god who works hard carrying some weapons. You will never find even Krishna carrying Shankh, Chakra, Gada, Padma. As soon as he carries them, naturally, you know, that is why it is said Krishna in Vrindavan, he doesn't kill the demons. Who kills the demons? Vasudeva Krishna kills the demons. It is not the Vrajendra Nandan Krishna who kills the demons. As soon as the demon has to be killed, then Krishna's Vasudeva form gets manifested from his body and that form kills the demons. And Vrajendra Krishna, he doesn't do anything other than enjoying with his friends, enjoying with his parents, enjoying with gopis, playing on his flute. That is his only activity. So otherwise he has no other work to do. He doesn't create or destroy. So material nature is feminine, Prakriti, and the Lord is Purusha. So the connection is like a husband-wife. Like the Purusha orders and the Prakriti executes. So Purusha is the supervisor and Prakriti is the executor. Like for example in a home, sometimes the husband tells the wife, you know, like some guests are coming to home. Then immediately the husband turns to kitchen and immediately the wife understands, you know, that he needs some tiffin or some, you know, some beverages or drinks or something. Immediately she arranges everything. She becomes very active immediately as soon as the husband just looks into the kitchen, isn't it? Similarly, Krishna just glances at the Prakriti and immediately the Prakriti becomes agitated with the three modes of material nature. Sattva-gun, Rajagun and Tamagun. With that whole material nature, if you look around the material nature, it's all simply a display of the three modes only. Everywhere. The whole material nature becomes active. So all the activities that all living entities do, what are they? Nahi kaschit chanamapi jati tishate karma krit karyate hi avashak karma sarva prakriti jayat gunaya prakriti kremanani gunai karmani sarvashaha. All the activities that go on in this material world are activities that are orchestrated by Durga, by taking the living beings as puppets in her hands. So all of us are like puppets in Durga's hands. She makes them dance according to her tune, by casting them into the three modes. So that's what she does. Material nature is highly active. Only those who become devotees of the Lord, they escape from her clutches. And they go under the shelter of internal potency. Srimati Radharani. So, in that sense, the material nature is not dependent on the Lord. It is dependent on Durga and Brahma and other agents. Shiva. Material nature is running like that. Lord doesn't directly interfere with the material nature. In order to help us understand this, example is given by Krishna himself. That if you take upside down bowl, the sky is compared to upside down bowl. And within that there is an air. Within kham. Kham means the space. Within the space there is air. The free flow movement of the air is not restricted. But the degree to which the air will have freedom, that is limited. For example, if you take a huge upside down bowl, if you take, and you have air within it, air can move anywhere within that bowl, but not beyond the bowl. It cannot move. In the same manner, Krishna has created the material world, he doesn't interfere with the independence of the living entities. Like, you know, we all have freedom. Every one of us has freedom to choose many things in our life, isn't it? You have the choice of jobs, you have the choice of career, one has choice of husband, wife, one has choice of a home, one has choice of doing what kind of activity in life, one has a choice to ruin one's life or to become a pious person. You can be a punyaman or a papi. You have the choice to do like that. So one is given the choice. So the living entities are all moving here and there in the creation, but their freedom is not beyond the material world. It's only within the material world. It's not beyond the material world. So in this way, Krishna is simultaneously giving independence to living entities, and also at the same time they are dependent on him for their independence also. So in this way, this paradox is resolved in these two verses very wonderfully. Although Krishna is free from material nature, the material nature is not free from him. That should be understood. Material nature is dependent on Krishna for its survival. But although Krishna is independent of it, he doesn't directly involve in it. So that's what is explained here. Coming to this purport here, Prabhupada explains this here. He creates these manifested universes in order to reclaim the living beings who are within them suffering threefold miseries. So the Lord maintains them and in due course of time annihilates them without being the least affected by such actions. He is connected with this material creation very superficially, as one smells odor without being connected with the odorous article. So that Prabhupada explains here. So in the ninth chapter, in the tenth chapter, I would like to read a few verses here. Sorry. In the ninth chapter, first section, there's a very interesting talk about this creation. It's coming here. Text number 7. Here Krishna says here, Sarva Bhutani Kaunteya Prakritim Yanti Mamikam Kalpakshaye Punahastani Kalpada Visajamyaham. He's saying, O son of Kunti, at the end of the millennium, all material manifestations enter into my nature. And at the beginning of another millennium, by my potency, I create them again. Just like Mahavishnu creates all the material universes from his pores of his body, and then they all enter into his body again. So why Krishna is saying these things here, he is, after giving this explanation, he wants Arjuna to understand what is material nature and what is spiritual nature, and how the material nature is temporary and how the spiritual nature is permanent, and how the material nature is constantly created and annihilated, it is made and destroyed. So it is not a very good place to stay in a stable manner. Just like all of you are sitting on this chatai now. Imagine suddenly somebody pulls this chatai from bottom. Isn't it? You feel uncomfortable. And then you sit on the floor. Okay, Prabhuji, you take it. And then he says, Prabhuji, get up, I want to put it again. He puts it again. Again you sit, again he pulls it. So you feel uneasy, isn't it? You are made to sit, and again you are pulled, again you are made to sit. So it's a very uncomfortable situation. Similarly, the material nature is very unstable. It's created, it's annihilated. Our death itself is one type of annihilation. Then there is kalpa and pralaya, mahakalpa, mahapralaya and all that. So he's telling Arjuna like this. Kalpa kshaye, when kalpa gets over, punahastani kalpa adho visrajami, I again create in the next millennium. He's saying. And then he's saying, Prakritim swama vashtabhya visrajami punah punah bhuta grama vivam kritsam avasham prakriter vashat. He's saying, the whole cosmic order is under me. Under my will it is automatically manifested again and again. Under my will it is annihilated again and again. And then he's saying how he is udasina, udasinavat. So he's explaining how bhuta grama sevayam bhutva bhutva praliyate. Although there is so much disturbance going on within the whole universe, annihilation and creation and everything, the Lord Himself is not disturbed. You know, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, from His navel comes the lotus on which Brahmaji is created. And then there are 14 planetary systems in which all the living beings are existing. When there is a cosmic dissolution, at that time, the Ananta, Lord Ananta, Ananta Shesh, on which Garbhadakshaya Vishnu is lying, He sends out, emits fire from His mouth. And all the fire goes up to higher planetary system. From the bottommost planet, it goes higher and higher and higher. And it scorches all the planetary systems, practically leaving the top three. It scorches. And in that, all the living beings are dried to ashes, practically. And if somehow or other some living entities survive in that fire, then after 36,000 years of Ananta's emitting fire, in the next 36,000 years, there is a pralaya that comes. The water swells from the ocean, and then it gradually covers all the lower planetary systems in the middle. Then there is Bahulok, Solok, Mahalok. Up to Mahalok, it is water level is rising. The sun and moon lose their glare. And in this way, this is a pralaya which covers. When all these things are covered like this, all living entities perish naturally. And they all leave their bodies and they go to the navel of Vishnu and stay there and freeze till the next Brahma's morning will come. So at that time, all the people in the Maharloka, because we have Bhulok, Bhulok, Swalok, Maharlok, Janalok, Tapalok, Satyalok, you know. So Maharlok, sages and saints, they all fly to the Janalok, higher planet. And then from there, they are all praying with folded palms. They are all praying Shanti, 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 because there is disturbance everywhere in the universe. You can see everything destroyed into pieces. Like I got to see this in a Dashavatara movie. They showed the pralaya. So many times we talk about pralaya, you have to see it. How the whole huge buildings collapse. And how all the trees are uprooted. How the all the animals and cattle and everything is carried away by the flood, and how all the people are literally drowning in the waters. The whole universe, on all sides, it's swelling up to the sky. We have no way to escape anywhere. So pralaya is a very deadly time. Even demigods and sages, they become afraid seeing the pralaya, seeing the huge tides. When tsunami came, people fell into a pralaya. When tsunami wave came, huge wave. But this is a small sample of pralaya, tsunami. Tsunami just slaps and takes away 4 lakh people. Pralaya will take the whole globe. It will take away the whole planetary system. So, the sages from Mahaloka go to Janaloka and fold at palms, they pray, offer prayers. Prithivi shantihi, papa shantihi, antariksha shantihi, vishve devaha shantihi. They pray like that. Let everything be in peace. And then they are praying to the Lord, please kindly protect us. Swastirastu, swastirastu, swastirastu me. What is the meaning of swastirastu? It's protect us, protect us. So they are begging, praying to the Lord for protection. And of course, the pralaya doesn't go beyond that level, because beyond Janalok, Tapalok, Satyalok, they are all highly evolved sages and saints are there, pure souls. So they don't have to be destroyed. They will practice Krishna consciousness. At the end of their life, they will go back to Godhead after that. So at that time, the Lord Vishnu, if you see, he is lying in Anantasesha with semi-closed eyes and very calmly smiling, and he is undisturbed. And this darshan was achieved by Brahmaji also. Brahmaji, in the dawn of creation, everything, everywhere it was dark, and he performed the severe penance for 100 celestial years, after which he got the darshan of Vishnu, where he sees the beautiful lotus feet of Vishnu first. He sees the ankle bells on his feet. Then he sees the pitambar, golden, dazzling, effulgent, yellowish clothes. Then he sees the jeweled belt that the Lord is wearing. Then he sees the Lord's navel, which has a depression like a lotus. Then he sees the Lord's chest. And the Lord says, there is Kaustubhamani, there is Sivasuchinha, and beautiful Vaijayantimala garland. And then this way, when he raises his sight, he comes to see the beautiful face of Lord Vishnu. His eyes semi-closed in yoga nidra. And his eyes are like lotus petals. And Lord is wearing a beautiful kirit, mukut. And he's wearing kundal, which is like a shark-shaped earring, makara kundal. He's wearing. So as soon as Brahma sees this beautiful form of Vishnu, he immediately says, oh, this is Lord Hari. Because Brahma knows who is Lord Hari before only. But moment he has apparently forgotten, because he is newly born now. So he has forgotten. So now after this penances, he recognizes Lord Hari. And Lord Hari comes in front of him, appears in front of him. He shakes hand and gives his darshan to Brahma and invests the potency of creative energies in him. After that he creates. So we understand that although the whole universe is in disturbance, the Lord Himself is not disturbed. He is very peaceful because He is the creator of everything. Just like in cantonment, for example, there are some landlords who have got about 10 or 20 bungalows like this in cantonment. One owner is owning some 10 bungalows. So sometimes what he does, he thinks that these bungalows are very old. So he pays some workers some money and tells them that you demolish this bungalow. You completely demolish it, down flat to the earth level, and remove all the things, and then erect a new beautiful bungalow. And then they may do that, but does it affect the owner? No. He has got his own bungalow, plus 10 more bungalows he has got. So he doesn't have to worry about the dust. Like the other day we were breaking the old kitchen, and so much disturbance, isn't it? You can't sit anywhere, everyone is coughing. But if you have 10 bungalows like this, properties like this, isn't it? You don't have to worry. So you have freedom. So Krishna is like that master. He has so many universes. He creates them, he annihilates them, but they don't disturb him even at the least. He is completely free. This example also Prabhupada gives, one of his audio cassettes he gives while speaking in the lecture. But like a very big landlord, he has so many properties where he demolishes and constructs and everything. But he is least disturbed. So Krishna is unaffected, he says. But then he says, Those who create disturbance in his creation are themselves disturbed. He is transcendental to all material afflictions because he is full with all six opulences, namely wealth, power, fame, beauty, knowledge and renunciation. And thus he is the master of the senses. So the living entity is generally the servant of his senses. And Krishna is the master of senses. But the living entity understands that Krishna is the master of total senses. You know what is the meaning of Krishna is the master of total senses? Rishikesh. For example, we all have two eyes. We have a pair of eyes. So Krishna is the master of all the eyes that we all have. Which means all of us are supposed to use our eyes in seeing him. He is the master of all our ears. He is the master of all our smelling ability. All our tasting ability. That is why all of us are given that scent to smell. All of us are given the lecture to hear about Krishna. He is the Lord of the total senses. So we have two choices. One choice is you use the senses for your own enjoyment and remain a godas. Or you use the senses in the Lord's service, which means you align yourself with Rishikesha, who is the master of total senses, and then in that case you can become master of your senses. That is the way the Lord has created our senses. If you hand over the charge to me of all your senses, then you will be able to master your senses. You will be a master of your senses. Like that. And if you take the senses yourself to enjoy for your own enjoyment, then you become servant of your senses. Godas. So this is Godas and Goswami. But nobody can say, I will not hand over my senses to Krishna. At the same time, I will become Goswami. That is not possible. Nobody can become Goswami. No yogi or a jnani or anybody can become master of the senses without handing over the senses to Krishna. So, the real intelligence is to dovetail all one's senses in the Lord's service, who is the Lord of total senses, Rishikesha. And Lord is full in six opulences. He has nothing to hanker at all. He is saying here a very interesting point. Those who create disturbance in his creation are themselves disturbed. It's like saying, some people say, I don't care. I will break all regulative principles. I smoke, I drink, you know. I have no problem. Who cares? Who can punish me? But this fool doesn't know, you cannot break regulative principles. You can only break yourself against it. You cannot break them, but you will break yourself against them. You heard the story of how a man, a big captain, was going in a boat, in an ocean. And he saw a light was coming from the opposite side. So this captain was a very proud captain. So he sent a signal to that other boat which was sending the light. He said, take a 20 degrees turn. He gave a command. And then the command returned back to him, saying that, it's better for you to take 20 degrees turn. Command came. So he became very angry. He again sent another signal. You take a 20 degree turn, I am telling you. I am first class captain. He said. And then again the signal came back. Sir, it is better for you to take a 20 degrees turn. I am the class C servant. So the reply came. So he became very angry. I am first class captain of a ship. And this fellow is a class C grade servant. And he is replying me saying that, no, it's better for me to take 20 degree turn. He became very angry. He again gave a signal. If you don't take 20 degree turn, I will arrange to throw you out of the job. Immediately take a 20 degree turn. He sent a signal. Captain sending you the signal. Then the response came. Very sorry sir, I cannot take a 20 degree turn because I am lighthouse. The reply came. Because that was a lighthouse. The light from where, the one which was giving light from there. It was a lighthouse. So this fellow then realized, okay, now I only have to take a turn. Then he took a 20 degree turn and he went the other side. In this way, these are called as, what do we learn from this example? It's called as a lighthouse principles. God has given the principles in the scriptures. What is right and what is wrong? These are called as lighthouse principles. Those who follow them will flourish in their life. And those who break them, they cannot break them. They can only break themselves against them. For example, if there is a huge pole, iron pole, and you run towards, you tell the iron pole, you move out of my way, otherwise I will destroy you. And the iron pole is not moving. So you run there and you hit your head against the iron pole. What will happen to you? You only will break your head. Nothing will happen to the pole. Similarly, nobody can break God's laws. Often we speak in our lectures that, you know, people who break God's laws, that is for the sake of convenience we speak like that. In reality, can anyone break God's laws? Nobody can break. We can only break ourselves against the laws of God. For example, take Hiranyakashipu. Apparently he broke God's laws, correct? Like, you know, he could command the rain to come at any time. Three controls he took in his hand. The wetting agent, the drying agent and heating agent. All three he took in his hands. So that whenever the rain he wanted, he could get the rain. He could get fruits, he could get grains and everything. So apparently he gained complete control over everyone and everything within the universe. But then, as Prabhupada explains here, those who create disturbance in his creation are themselves disturbed. So did Hiranyakashipu become disturbed? Yes, we can see that. So he was creating disturbance in the universe, but ultimately what happened to him? He simply became disturbed by a small boy, Prahlad. 5-year-old boy, can imagine. Whole universe, 99.9% was in his control. But only one small boy said, I cannot accept your control. Father, you are not the supreme. Lord Vishnu is supreme. That created tremendous disturbance in him. So, why he was disturbed? Because he was not full in six opulences. See, Krishna is full in six opulences, but Hiranyakashipu was not. But he was trying to become God. So, people who struggle hard to become God or become leader in society, they always have to struggle in this world. Like Bill Gates is the richest man now. So, can he say that he will always be the richest? Like Prabhupada says in one place, somebody may say, I am the richest man in this world. Isn't it? But even to maintain that position, he has to struggle hard. Because if he doesn't struggle, what will happen to him? He will go to second or third. Somebody else will go up. So nobody can remain in the same position in this world. But even if one remains, one has outstanding riches in this world, somebody may say, I am the richest man. But he can't say that all the riches in all the universes belong to me. Nobody can say that. If somebody can say that, he is God. That is the meaning of God. Similarly, somebody can say, I am saying Radhesham Das, I am president of this temple. I can say that within the four walls of this ISKCON, 4 Tarapur Road, I can tell devotees to do different type of services. They will obey me. So I can say that. But outside the four walls, my control is gone. Because once I go out of the campus, nobody is going to hear me what I will say. Isn't it? If I catch a person from the street and tell him, you do this service, he will say, who are you? Isn't it? I have no control. So our control has a jurisdiction within which we have control, all of us. And different people have different levels of jurisdiction. Like now, for example, Chief Minister of Maharashtra has got whole Maharashtra. Prime Minister of India has got India. But Prime Minister of India cannot go and command somebody in Gulf or, you know, America or Russia. He can't do anything. Or even if somebody is the king of the earth, he has jurisdiction over the whole globe. But he cannot control the other planets. He cannot control the sun planet or moon planet or any other planets. So in this way, our control is limited to certain jurisdiction beyond which we have no control. But if somebody can say that my control is everywhere, there is no place in the entire creation where my control is not there. Everywhere there is my control. Who can say that? That is Krishna, that is God. Because he is full in six opulences. He has everything. So, Hiranyakashipu was trying to take away the role of God and become God himself. And then such people who create, that becomes only a disturbance in the society. Unnecessary disturbance. Because these demoniac people like Hiranyakashipu, Ravana also wanted to enjoy Mother Sita. Hiranyakashipu wanted to become Lord of Lords. You can see that. So such people's activity, what it does to the earth? It only creates disturbance. So they create disturbance to others and they also become disturbed. So he says. So the prime difference between the Lord and the living entities is that the Lord is the creator. The living entities are the created. Here he is called as Amoghalilaha, which indicates that there is nothing lamentable in his creation. And then finally Prabhupada says, non-godly elements therefore can never approach him despite all endeavors. So sometimes people think, people sometimes ask, oh, why there is so much atrocities going on? People who do corruption, they are flourishing, and you know, people who are pious people, they are suffering. So it seems that, you know, religion has lost its power. The religious people are flourishing. So this kind of talks go on, but Lord remains completely aloof from all these useless talks that go on in the material world. Why? The material world has its flow of time. There is Satya Yuga, which is golden age, Treta Yuga, silver age, and Dwapar Yuga, bronze age, and Kali Yuga, there is iron age. So Kali Yuga is like the sandhya of the four yugas in the Divya Yuga, if you see. So in the if you see, after sandhya, the rakshasas become strong. You have seen that? After the evening twilight hours. In the daytime, who is strong? Demigods are very strong. Because the mode of goodness is very prominent in daytime. And nighttime, mode of ignorance is prominent. So naturally, the asuras become very strong at night. Similarly, at the end of Kali Yuga, naturally, the asuras, whose law is might is right, they use their might to achieve their ends by indulging in nefarious activities. And such a prediction about Kali Yuga is already given in Bhagavatam 12th canto, we can read the Vedavyas. So for God, it is not a new thing. It's not, sometimes Christians have a foolish conception. They think God is on one side and Satan is on the other side. Maya or Satan, you know, the other side. They think sometimes, you know, Satan wages a war against God, that even God becomes disturbed sometimes. Or God becomes little defeated, you know. And Satan overpowers God also. So they have such ideas. Like sometimes Satan can even overpower Jesus also. They think like that. It's a foolish idea. Because Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Daivi Hyesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Duratyaya Mamevaye Prapadyante Mayam Etam Tarantite. He says, Mama Maya Duratyaya. What is the meaning of Mama Maya? My Maya, Krishna is saying. Maya is my energy. Like even Vedavyas says, Mayam cha tad apashrayam. He saw Krishna, he saw Maya, and Maya was under control of Krishna. That sight Vedavyas got when he was meditating in deep trance in the stage of his maturity. He saw Krishna also, he saw Maya also. At the same time, Maya was under control of Krishna. Krishna Surya Sama, Maya Hai Andhakar, Yahan Krishna Taha Nahi, Maya Radhikar. Maya cannot have Adhikar, but Krishna has Adhikar. So when one comes under the shade of Krishna's feet, then Maya has no Adhikar at all. So in fact, Maya is a Dasi, Krishna Dasi. She is serving Krishna like a servant maid, serves the master. And she will not do anything. Chayeva Yasya Bhuvanani Vibharti Durga. She is like a shadow. Like you move the hand, then only the shadow also moves. Without the movement of the hand, the shadow cannot move. Similarly, when Krishna gives order, then Maya follows. So she's a sister of Krishna, servant of Krishna. So that should be understood. And because Maya is subordinate to Krishna, she can never become so powerful that even Krishna will be in trouble. Krishna will not be in trouble. But the universe is so created that when Satya Treta Dwapara Kali comes, things degrade very badly. And then Lord comes as Kalki and destroys everything. And again creates a golden age. Satya Yuga again it comes. So sometimes the demons apparently assume such power, it seems that they are going to even beat God or surpass God. It looks like that. Like when you read the pastime of Hiranyaksha fighting with Lord Varaha, the demigods were all watching from the sky, from the clouds. They were becoming a little fearful. Why? Because the twilight was coming, and the asuras get a lot of strength after the twilight. So they were praying to Lord Varaha, oh, my dear Lord, alas, we are afraid that it seems he is going to defeat you. Because sometimes the way Hiranyaksha was fighting, it appeared that he is going to defeat Lord Varaha. It appeared like that. So they were praying, please, don't spare him, kill him immediately. So whenever the Lord would make a powerful move in defeating Hiranyaksha, the demigods would feel very happy. Jai, Jai, they would feel, they would say. But then they were also very afraid to tell loudly. Why? Because the asura may see them. If you see there, your people are watching from there, our fight. And then in case asura wins, what will happen? She will capture all of them and get them arrested and punish them, isn't it? So they were also afraid at the same time because they are mixed devotees. They are not pure devotees. So sometimes apparently the Lord plays with the demons just like a cat plays with a rat for some time before the rat tears him into pieces. Or sometimes you see Garuda when he fights with a snake, he doesn't crush the head of the snake immediately. He catches him in his claws and allows him to twist his body this way and that way and play for some time. After which he kills him and cuts him into pieces. Similarly, the Supreme Lord also sometimes gives a long rope to the atheist so that he can make a very nice noose around his neck and then catch him and hang him afterwards. You know, I was reading the Chaitanya Bhagavat. In Chaitanya Bhagavat it is said, even all the Bhattacharyas and Mishras and all of them, they were all blessing their disciples and followers to have lot of material well-being, have lot of wealth and enjoy material life. And it says there, the noose of Yamaraj was already lying on their necks, he says. Similarly, Lord sometimes gives a long rope and he puts a noose and he pulls them at last. So one should never be surprised that sometimes the demons seem to be winners, but they cannot be winners for a long time. Eventually they will lose. Ravana was apparently a winner for a long time. Hiranyakashipu was a winner for a long time, if you see like that. But then at last they were destroyed. All the great asuras were destroyed like that. So that is explained in this verse, that the demon cannot create any trouble to the Lord. Or whatever appears like trouble is superficial. Lord cannot be troubled by anyone because no one can kill him, no one can harm him, no one can do him favor. He is beyond. So in this way, what is the advantage of knowing all these different kinds of information what we are discussing here today? So the purpose of knowing this knowledge is, the more we deeply learn the transcendental nature of Krishna, our respect for the Lord will increase in our heart. On one hand. On the other hand, we will understand that he is an indefeatable person. He is an invincible person. And he is an inconceivable person. And he is all powerful. And he is present everywhere, in my heart, in his heart, in everyone's heart, in every atom. So when that faith becomes deep rooted in one's heart, then only one can become a proper devotee. Only then it is possible for one to remember the Lord at all times. See, in the Vedic times the kings employed brahmanas to teach the public about the sublime truths. Because the public should know these truths and then they will be able to lead a pure life, righteous life and return back to Godhead. It is possible. But otherwise, without all this knowledge, modern man has become like a gross animal. He has simply become like a two-legged animal. He doesn't know how powerful is the Lord, how he is destroying himself in the name of breaking the regulative principles, and how he is cheating himself, thinking that no one is watching him. So these verses are enlightening us so wonderfully, so that we can understand the witness in our heart, who is watching us at all times, the super soul. So with this understanding, it is very easy for us to pray to the Lord. Because you can see his presence at all times, everywhere, at every moment. Then you can pray to him to guide us, to enlighten us, to protect us from temptations, to clear the obstacles in our path, to give us the strength, to have the determination, to follow the vows. All these things we can do with proper understanding of his transcendental nature. Hare Krishna. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్ కి గౌర్ భక్తవృంద కి జయ్.